Yeah, 3 years have gone by. 3 years since we started here at Damascus Road at the Stay OK, since we went public with this thing. You know, we've seen hundreds. I would say it's hard because, you know, we haven't been real good about counting. But I would say we've seen hundreds, and I know that's in the over the thousand, maybe a couple thousand people. I'm speaking evangelistically probably. But we've probably seen a couple thousand people come through our doors here at Damascus Road. Now, you may look around here and go, well, where are they? Well, the problem with Damascus Road is we have a lot of people sometimes for a time, and then they go. They go off to other studies, jobs. You know how it is. This isn't New York with 12 million or 10 million people. People have to go other places. So that's the sad part of it. We lose people a lot because of that. But it's really cool because everyone makes up the fabric of Damascus Road, and every person that comes through the doors is just as important as the next. Doesn't matter what you came in with your past, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter any of those things. It doesn't matter where you're going. It matters who you are and what God made you to be and where God wants to take you. Every person is important. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I kind of like that font. Looks kind of like me with a crayon a little bit. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. You know, when you're running a race, you need some strong, reliable shoes, right? Something comfortable, something that's supportive. If you're like me and you have overpronation, I need something that helps my instep. And you need reliable shoes. And when we started here in June 2010, we started a series called Shoes for the Journey. Shoes for the Journey. Because so many, you can imagine, with so many cultures and backgrounds here, there's all kinds of different baggage that people come with. And like shoes that have to be broken in. And so for a time, we did a long series just on the basics of Christianity, just to kind of get us broken in to what the Word of God says. And our shoes haven't got holes in the soles yet. We're just getting started, you know. But it's been a short journey that's gone fast, but we know it's going to be a long journey that God's going to extend for His glory. Great days and things accomplished for our Lord lie ahead of us. The verse in Philippians 3 says this: I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, even though we may not be in a literal race, the time clock of heaven's ticking. For us to think that our life lasts forever is, of course, folly. It's a joke. And there is a clock that's ticking. There's an eternity, but we only have so much time. That's why the Bible says that our life is like a vapor. You know, it just appears and it vanishes. So it's what we do with that vaporous time in our life. It's how we use that time in our life that really matters. We're here for just that short time, and we need to be busy doing the work of the one that saved us. That's why the Bible says the harvest fields, what do you harvest that's worthwhile? Souls, people. The harvest fields, it says, they're already ripe to harvest. But he says, where are my laborers for my fields? God calls us all to be laborers. Like when someone stood up here and said, I think it was Steve, said, we're all missionaries. That's true. You know, it may be a little clichéical, but our purpose in life is truly to know Him and make Him known. And that's why at Damascus Road, you always hear us up here encouraging people to repent. You know, to really say, God, I messed up. I need You. And to make Him Lord and Savior of their life. You know, and I don't think you're ever going to hear that change. I don't know about you, but every time I hear that message, and you can hear it thousands of times. Billy Graham was a master at it, you know. Billy Graham had the same message he preached everywhere around the world for years. And you never get tired of it. Why? Because it's the miracle of salvation that's included in those timeless words. that miracle that can set people free and pull them out from where they're at and give them real life and real hope and a real reason to live. That's why we're here today, right? That's why we're celebrating 3 years of Damascus Road, because God has done so much in people's lives and he wants to do so much more at the same time. You know, we've seen people, and you know, when we came down here from Amsterdam, and actually even before when we came to Europe to work here, people would say, oh, people don't get saved there. People don't receive Jesus. People, well, I hate to tell you that, I'm glad to tell you, that we see a lot of people here come to Jesus. There again, we don't keep counts, but it seems like almost every week God is allowing us to speak into someone's life, and the light's coming on, you know, to where they see the reality and the purpose that they have in Christ. And are they all still serving Jesus? I'm sure not. I'm sure not. The Bible's clear that a lot of times that seed falls on different kinds of soils, and there's all kinds of different soils of the heart. And it's up to the hearer of the message how they prepared the soil of their heart to receive the message. You know, it's easy for us just to go, hey, I want Jesus. Okay, another God in my pocket. That fits with my Buddha, and it fits with my elephant God, and it fits with all, you know, my Ouija boards. It fits with all my junk. But no, there's only one. And it's Jesus. You know, it's up to the heart of the hearer. But those that take it seriously become world changers, become history makers. You know? Much bigger than Facebook. History changers. Remember, only a handful of men followed Jesus, and they changed history. It's no different for us. It's no different for this church. It's no different from you. You want to ask Jerry? Jerry Sopakua. That's you. Well, ask him to come and share. Jerry is one of the guys that was in the beginning, towards the very beginning.
My name is Jerry, and I used to attend this church on a more regular basis. At least that is before I moved to a different place. And I was there in the beginning, and I think that's the reason why Ken asked me to share what DRC means to me. So, it means a lot, I think. But I had to pick at least two things that I think. And the funny thing is that these are two things that Chin Chin and Ken already mentioned earlier today. And these are also two things I tried to apply in my own Christian life. And I think made me a better Christian, if that even is possible. So, the first thing that really first thing that really stood out was its openness, you know. You know, people, different backgrounds, different ideas, different perspectives, even towards God, they all came here, and they were really accepted, I think. That's at least my experience. Mm-hmm. While the church actually remained firmly rooted in the gospel, you know? We're not going to deny who Christ is, you know, even though it might sound strange, you know. God is a God of healing. God, even, you know, sometimes we do speak in tongues and all those things, but still, even though it might sound strange for a lot of people, I think we managed to really be a home for those people, a place where they feel welcomed and stuff. And actually, you know, whenever I'm here, I see a lot of new faces, but I still feel welcome. I think that's really a cool thing. Well, the second thing that stands out, I think, is its active stand. You know, it's one thing, you know, to have Bible study, you know, and to sing hallelujah and to talk about God amongst fellow Christians. But it's another thing, you know, to really go out and, you know, I have to think about the egg hunt parties, the flyering, schooling projects. And even heard there's a group of people going to Kenya. So, that's really cool, because, you know, it's one thing to get to know Christ, but it's another thing, you know, to make the gospel known to a lot of other people, because, you know, you're safe, you know. What are you going to do afterwards? So, you know, it's open and it's active stand. Happy birthday. I hope that these are two things that will remain in the many years that will follow, hopefully. And, Yeah, but also a special thanks to Ken and Leslie. I mean, I know that, you know, God gave you vision, but you really acted accordingly because, you know, there were a lot of voices saying, you know, why should you go there? And it's a difficult place, you know, to talk about Jesus. But in this act of obedience, you touched the lives of a lot of people, including mine. And thank you for that. And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry. And when the four of us came down here, he mentioned Leslie. Leslie's my wife right here next to Jerry. And when we came down here from the Amsterdam area, we came down with Matt, who wasn't married yet, and with a girl named Sarah Ellsbarn, who heard us as we were traveling around the USA talking about coming to here. That there they say Holland, right? And we know it's the Netherlands. And she said, I want to come. So, okay. So she came, and we moved down here, didn't know anyone, and just started the church. After we looked around, you know, the Netherlands, went to Groningen, all over the place, all as far as you can go in the Netherlands and not fall into the water, we went everywhere. And looking for that place, you know, where God says, God placed to plant a church. And when we saw Maastricht, we knew this was the place. Even though it's 140,000 people, it's not big compared to a lot of other cities that you could be in. It's a city that desperately needed to hear that full gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know? Amen? I hope you say amen. Desperately needed to hear that. And it's a city, you know, I love it. Probably the prettiest city in the Netherlands. But it's a city rich with history. It's at the spiritual wells of influence that have affected history here. I mean, this is the place where Charlemagne came through, as well as many others. Rome built the place in the beginning. You know, it's where they developed the EU here at the provincial buildings just south of the Kennedy Bridge and the Euro. And it seems like this town has more than its share of influence for some reason. And we feel like that influence needs to be turned to God. That energy needs to be turned to Him. My boss, Tim Sutherland, often uses a saying found in Acts 15. He says, it seemed good to God, or good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And that's what we looked at when we saw Maastricht. We said, okay, we're coming. And we're so glad we did because of what God's doing here in the church, and what God's doing in your life. You know, it's funny, wherever you go around the world, God's moving. We used to take mission trips all the time, right, when we were youth pastors, and we went on 14 of those, I think. We went all over the world, different places. Every place we went needed Jesus. I mean, when they asked us in missions, where do you want to go? Because we're missionaries from the U.S., okay? He said, where do you want to go? And we, well, where do you want us to go? I mean, there's pick a spot, because any place could use the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we've been so blessed to meet so many people from so many nations and cultures here. You know, Matt and I used to keep count, but we lost track. But I think, you know, somewhere between 70 and 80 nations by now. I know it's well over 70. And some of you may not know, but when we started in our front room until we got to like 25 people. And then we decided, that's getting a little crowded, so we better find another place. And some of you are still here, that were here in the beginning, and you know some of that. We did a trial thing at the Hotel Bechara, I think. I don't know how it's pronounced. It's probably French. You know, what do I know? Just over here. And so we thought, we'll try that for Palm Sunday 2010 and Easter 2010. And they were you there for both of them? Or at least one of them. I remember meeting them there. And they live in the U.S. now. He's a pilot and does a lot of things. But they're here visiting. You know, all these people that actually have been involved in Damascus Road. In June 2010, we kicked off these Stay OK meetings. That's why we're having the anniversary today. You know, and it was an interesting time because people were always coming to check us out, especially in our home, just to see what we believe, see if we were like Jehovah's Witnesses or, you know, or if you're one of those. Sorry, didn't mean to point you out. But, you know, just to see where we're, just to see what we're thinking, where we're at, you know, what's going on in our lives. And if it's real, Because so many people, especially here in the Catholic South, have been burnt out on God. They've seen all the hypocrisy. They don't want anything to do with it. But if Jesus is real, can we meet him? If Jesus is real, can we find him here? I hope so. I hope you find him here if you don't know him. Because he's findable. So it was an interesting time. And in the very beginning, we also had a young lady, an au pair from Mexico. Matter of fact, she's with us here today via video, I think. Sounds like we're having some problems with a few media things.
Hello, Mayu. You more, okay? I hope I still remember my Dutch correctly. My name is Mayu, and I live in the beautiful southwestern city of Guadalajara, in Mexico. Anyways, before I moved here, God took me on an adventure to the south of the Netherlands, to beautiful Limburg, where you are all now. And it was in his plans that I met some pretty awesome people during my time there. That'd be Kent and Leslie. I love you guys. Christine and Ad, Sip and Lori, and Sarah, who's back in the States. And many others who belong to what I like to think of as the first generation of Damascus Road, International Church, or, you know, Class of 2010, whatever. we had the most amazing time, and we were very blessed to be there from the very beginning. I remember dinner at Ken's and just small meetings of 10 people, you know, just sharing the word and worshiping the name of God and just being a church together. And I feel very, very blessed of having been part of that from the beginning, part of this big project that is Damascus Road. Being a part of God's family means that you're never alone, no matter where you are. I've seen that over and over again. And in Damascus Road, I found my home not only in the Netherlands, but also after I returned to my home country. Damascus Road has been there for me, like only family does. And, you know, they've been with me through happy times and through some of the most difficult moments. Anyone can go through. So to me, Damascus Road is exactly what the body of Christ should be. Family. In the name of Jesus. So if you're sitting there on the same chair as I did 3 years ago, then you have to know how blessed you are, how much God loves you, and takes care of you. I wish that you will enjoy your time there, and love all your brothers and sisters in Christ, because they are your brothers and sisters in Christ. And just don't be afraid of what God has in store for you while you're there. Happy anniversary, Damascus Road. Happy 30th birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. I really wish I was there with you guys. And I send you a hug and a kiss from Mexico. Tatsins.
You know, since last year, many, many new things have taken off at Damascus Road, and God always has greater things. That's something that's so important to remember. I know it's easy to say, it goes down easy when we swallow, but we've got to remember that. God always has greater things. Whenever we get, that's why you saw the one verse about, you know, moving ahead, forgetting what is behind, but moving ahead. Because if we rest in like, oh, great, God's done such great things here, that's not enough. There are more people that need to know Jesus. There are more things that God wants to do in our lives. There are more things he wants to reveal to us about our future. And if we don't pursue, if we don't ask, if we don't seek, you'll never know. And the same way with this church, we have to continue to expect God to do more, because we don't serve a weak, puny God who runs out and gets tired at 11 o'clock at night. We have a God that's, you know, 24/7. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. You know, nothing can stop our God. Always has greater things. In Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says here. Matter of fact, this is what the Lord says. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Throughout the Old Testament, We see how God has done constant refreshings and overcoming of adversities and providing new opportunities. And they're all reasons to proclaim his name. You know, we serve a creative Lord who's never empty of provision. And you saw on the video, you know, ever since our second anniversary, you see how God has grown through babies. We have so many babies. I'm hoping that some of you that have small children like that haven't dedicated them to the Lord yet, we're not talking about infant baptism, we're talking about dedication to the Lord, that you would follow through with that. And we'll give you the opportunity to do that soon if you'd like to do that. But we also started a mission program. You've heard about Kenya. With that 4,500 euro goal to raise in 12 months, we did it in 10, as we talked about here just a week ago. And you, 10 people are going. Drum, our Damascus Road University Ministry, continues to grow with that citywide youth group that's got started. God helped us to launch youth connect groups, rather, to create stronger community and provide us a way to invite unchurched people to a very non-churchy environment to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very often people will come to a home before they'll come to a church service. 2 weeks ago, we had Damascus Road to go, over 60 adults in homes across the city. You know, because whenever you say we're not going to meet here, you're going to meet in homes, you always lose people. But last, when we did that, we had over 60 plus children. So that's great across the city. And I hope that if you're here, that you'll take advantage of that. A finding connect group, we have maps at the info table in the back afterwards. Check them out. See where there's one. Everyone's welcome. You can just go. Show up, you know? You don't need an invitation. You just had one. You got one right now. You can just go. Show up. And they have great food, too. So that's a benefit right there. As a matter of fact, is Ernestine here? I don't see Ernestine. There she is. Ernestine, I just want you just to take a quick minute. Ernestine's a person that she's kind of come here on and off because she's, she goes for a limited time to school here, and then she goes back to her home country, and she's back again. I understand, for the last time, though. Okay. But I just wanted to share a little bit about something with Connect Groups. Can you use this?
Hello. My name is Ernestine. I come from Ghana, and like Ken rightly said, I come here for a short period of time, 3 months in a year, and I've been doing that for the past 3 years. And I joined Damascus Road 2011 when I was here, just about the same time. But then I was working mostly in Amsterdam, so I couldn't join on fun days. I was just coming once a while. It happened last year. I was here last year, and because I had to go to Amsterdam, I couldn't also participate fully. But my best moment has been this year, and has been the introduction of Connect Group. I like my Connect Group. It's been an amazing experience for me. I always look forward to our Tuesday meetings. The people are so warm. The food we cook is so nice. I have got a lot of food ideas I'm taking back home. And the contents of our meeting, the study, the simplicity of the gospel, how it is presented, the atmosphere. We get to ask questions. Not all our questions are answered. We are not able to answer them all, but it's a nice experience where we get to talk freely. And I have learned a lot, gotten a few more scriptures to add to what I have. And I have got such fond memories that will live with me for a very long time. And I am so glad, I'm so grateful to God for giving the church the direction to start the Connect Group. And I desire that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead the church to have such more innovative ideas to meet the diverse needs of the people that come here.
Yes.
Sundays were not working for me, but I hardly missed any Tuesday meetings. And it was such a blessing to me. And I also pray that as the years of the church, so shall his strength be. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Elizabeth for opening her home to us, for Matthew and Christine, for Tinashe, every member of my Connect Group. You made this a home for me, and I'm so grateful. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ernestine. Yeah, you know, that's how important our community is to get to know one another and to share life together in Jesus. You know, growing churches like this need to adapt to their growing needs. And as Damascus Road has grown from the front room to here, you know, we've recognized we need a broader scale of leadership in the church to better handle spiritual decisions as well as practical matters. And, you know, some churches have deacons and elders, and you can put all these names on things, overseers. But in any church, it takes time for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, to a church, who those people might be. Because when you have a new church, you can imagine. It's like, we don't know each other very well. You really don't know what's going on inside and history and that sort of thing. And so, but we've been very deliberate in taking time here to put people in those kinds of positions. But now we feel confident that God has shown us a few people that are ready for such a position. And really, there are quite a few people in this church that, as we look around, that are capable. But it's not a popularity show, you know what I mean? It's not about that. It's like, God, who do you say? What do you want? And so, in looking around, we feel like God pointed out four people that I'm about to mention that have accepted and are willing, since it does require much of their time and obligation. The Greek word for deacon is a word called diakonos, and it means servant. Now, I especially like that, because when I was a youth pastor in Missouri for 19 years, that's a long time, huh? We had a large youth group, and we had a whole battery of youth workers that worked with us, and we called them servant leaders. And I like that, because you can't really lead if you can't be a servant. God only promotes servants. He doesn't promote people that think they got it together. That's pride. God promotes servants. And so I really like the way diakonos means servant. And I always love what it said in Matthew 20. I don't think it's on the screen, but it's Matthew 20. It says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there's the pattern that Christ himself established for good leadership. And these four people are going to serve two-year terms. And every year, though, two will be up of four, and there are four people. Today I want to recognize, if you guys would come up real quick, Jonathan Law, Michael Christofiak, Nellie Ebus, and Patrick Erhabel. Would you come up quickly? They all kind of wait to see who's first, right? And a little later on, late summer, fall, we may have something a little more elaborate. But I just wanted you to see who these people are, so that you could approach them. You know, we've had several meetings together, and I can tell you already they've been a huge blessing, and they've really given a lot of time and energy into the church. Can you guys just, as an act of agreement, could you extend a hand this direction? Let's pray for these guys, okay? Father, we thank you for servants. We thank you for the hearts of servants, and these people are your servants. And God, bless them, strengthen them, give them wisdom beyond their ability. Father, give them energy, give them strength, give them discernment, and above all, give them a love for you and a heart to serve your church. Father, putting others above themselves, the way you showed us by your example, becoming a slave to all. Father, that's what you did through Jesus. Let us serve with that kind of example. Bless them, use them, build this church and strengthen this church through them. Thank you for them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thought this was a fitting day to do that. Rude, why don't you come up real quick?
Well, Kent asked me to say some things about Drick. The first time we were visiting.
That's Damascus Road, I see, yeah. Drick. So, in case you're like.
I'm a newcomer, but. the first visit was in 2011 from Marion. Well, our standards at that time was we were hungry, not for food, but for the Word of God, and to know more about God. In 2011, we decided to do a Crossroad DTS in Spain for 2 weeks. And then we took a trip to the USA to go to the Southwest Believers Convention in Dallas, Fort Worth. We also made a trip through Texas. And, well, we were at that moment also searching for a Bible-based church. We were already in a church, but you know, there were some differences with that church and what we read in the Word. And that was not what we were looking for. We're looking for a Bible-based church. And we remember, I remember when we drove from the airport to the first hotel, we were on the highway, and I was always everywhere, and there were churches and billboards saying, well, come to our church and come to our church. And I said to Marion, wow, why can't we live over here? There's a church, so many churches we can pick. But we live in Holland, and there are not that many churches. So when we came back, well, as Ken said, there are a lot of people who were checking Drick out. And we said to each other, well, let's go to Drick. Let's check it out. So we went to Drick, and, well, we thought it was a great experience for us. The Word was great. The worship was great. But we saw a lot of students. Nothing wrong with students. But don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with students. But we said, well, this is probably a church just for students. And, well, look at me. I'm 52 almost. And, well, I don't fit in with the student anymore. But we decided to leave the other church, and we were at our home, and we were watching services on the internet. And one time, Bernard and Marijke, they're a good friend from us, they said, well, you have to check out Rick again because things have changed. There are more families. So yay. I think it was at Easter.
Yeah.
Yes, this year. Kent welcomed us, and he said, well, is this your first time? He said, no, we were here in 2011. And we remember when we left, he said, don't let it be another 2 years before you come back.
Right.
And we came back ever since.
Been back ever since.
Yeah. Not because of what Kent said, but because...
what?
Because of what God is doing in this place. And I wrote down a few words about what Drick means to us in the short time that we experienced here. We saw enthusiasm. We saw connecting. We saw through worship. We saw sermons that were truly biblical based. We see warmth. We see activity. Well, the video we saw says more than that word. And we saw equipping, and we saw that you're not playing church, as we see a lot, but you are church.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right. Thank you, brother. Wow, great ad. Thank you. Never know what someone's going to say, but great. You know, you saw a couple of Texans that were on the screen that kind of dropped on us. But last year we had 7 that came, had a heart for God to come here and serve the church. And before that, like I said, was Sarah and Matt. And last year, Matthew and Becky Miller moved here and took on the Connect Group coordinators. You've heard some testimonies about our Connect Groups and what they mean to people. Steve and Julie Kramer came with Case, and now they have another one named Selah to help us with university ministry. And even now, there's a couple from South Africa, Mikael and Carissa Stein, who are raising a sport to come here within the next year. And you know, they traveled around Europe, and they could have gone to other churches, but they came here and they said, we want to come back. We see something at Damascus Road that we want to invest in. To me, that's such a powerful testimony of what God is doing and continues to do. You know, why did they all do this? It's in response to God's heart for this city. That's why. I don't think it's because people come, they go, oh, they got great fly there. Well, they do. But they come because they see what God sees. You know what I mean? They tap into the heartbeat of God, and then they want to come. And there's been a spiritual battle going on here in this city for centuries, but Satan's about to lose. Amen? Can anyone say amen to that? Satan is about to lose. He's had a stranglehold on the city for too long. It's time he gets these dirty little grimy hands off the jugular vein of this city and allows it to breathe again. You know, and I can be sure of that because my Lord is undefeated. He's always been victorious and causes us to be overcomers. And I love it that he desires, he says, that none would perish, but all would come to have eternal life. That's his heart. He does. It's not like they're disposable, you know. It's not like McDonald's drive-thru where you have to throw the stuff in the basket when you leave. You know, he says we're all important to him. He desires that none would perish, but all would come to have eternal life. One of my favorite verses can be found in Revelation, which is up on the screen. But I'm going to start with the verse before that. I don't know if you have it. It's verse 10. It says this. And this is a great memory verse right here as well. There's several. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. That's Jesus. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. But they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's what God's calling us to. That we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word we speak, by the word of our testimony. Who do we say Jesus is? Are we afraid to say who Jesus is? I hope not, because that's the word of our testimony. And that's how we win. That's how we overcome, by what he's done, the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice, and the word of our agreement with that. And as long as we don't shrink back. As long as we don't take this gospel and make it into a pocket-sized Jesus and hide it away so no one can see it, we can't shrink back. Why? Because the city needs it. The city needs to see Jesus lived out in blue jeans. Needs to see someone walking around that believes what they believe and stands on it. I don't know if the Kua video, do you think it's going to work, guys? Okay.
Hey, good morning. Happy anniversary. 3 years today. That's awesome. Praise God.
Happy anniversary.
That's glory.
There you are. So 3 years today. Not that long ago we were with you guys, and it really changed our lives. We think and talk about you guys often. And being in the Netherlands, serving with you guys, it truly changed us and the way we view things. I know, at our own church, at home, with one another. And your guys' love for your community is amazing. It was really impressed upon me in the way that I now look at our own community and reaching out to our neighbors. When I pray, I think about you guys. When I read scriptures, I think about you guys. It's neat because Apostle Paul writes in his letters to like 1 Corinthians and Colossians and Philippians, he starts out by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. I think you guys were so impressed in our lives. And I just want to encourage you guys to continue on in the faith. And what you guys are doing and reaching out, it's great. You know, I wish I could be there with you guys and serving with you and singing songs with you. Kent up there jamming on the guitar. See, we got our props, thinking about you guys. Best coffee right there. We do not have a coffee house like this here. I wanted a prayer I wanted to share with you guys out of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And in Colossians 3:16, it says, what does it say in Colossians 3:16? It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That verse really came to life for me when I was with you guys. You guys really taught me that, to really admonish one another to lift each other up and sharing hymns, the Psalms, scripture verses with one another, lifting each other up. I praise God for you guys. We pray for you guys. We do a lot of laughing with the other team members, remembering our times with you. Enjoy, embrace one another. We love you guys. We miss you guys. I look forward to seeing you one day again.
Thank you for everything you did for us while we were there. We love you guys, and our team loves you, and we hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, amen. Have a fantastic day. Again, happy anniversary, 3 years. Ken, you're going to be coming here in October, I think it is.
Yeah.
So I'll have to get together and go catch a moose.
Okay.
Be great.
See ya.
Love you guys. Have a great one.
Love you too. Bye. That was Scott Laurie Koo, a Minnesota team that came here during Carnival and did 24 hours of prayer and different things around. You know, I've been a believer for 32 years, and it just amazes me at the things he's allowed me to participate in, to see, the things that he's done, the experiences, just to be a part of a little bit, a glimpse of what God can do, that crack in the door that the light comes in, you know, just to kind of get that glimpse. And I think if I retired today, I could sit for months in a rocking chair on a porch. Nah, it's too bad. I could sit for months and probably reminisce and never repeat one thing of the things I've seen God do. And I pray that your life will be even more rich in that experience with him than mine, because God's got greater things ahead. You know, we need to expect them. We need to believe them by faith. We need to anticipate them, and we need to seek him for more, always. God never grows weary of honoring the prayers of his children. Never grows weary of honoring. 24/7 prayer at Sidrick's or online. We told you how to sign up. You can go to our webpage and you can see it. Because if we want to glorify him with our lives, God wants to answer and honor our prayers. I pray that be our desire, that we glorify him with our lives, that this church glorifies him, that it's more than talk, it's more than just appearance, but it's real, that we glorify him with the way we live, no holding back. You know, next year, less than I'll probably be one of these ones on the screen, probably saying, "Hi, Damascus Road, you can talk back to me if you want on there." And maybe I'll even allow space for that. I don't know. I'll figure out something, you know. Trick it. But congratulating you on that fourth anniversary, you know, next year from video. But my prayer for the church is that your hunger for Jesus will be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Hungering. The Bible says that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. It doesn't say other. He said the ones that hunger and thirst, they're the ones. They'll be filled. You know, that hunger will be unstoppable, and that Jesus will lead the way for us to grow in faith. And as years go by, lives will be changed, not just in Damascus Road, but in this whole city. And you know what? Across this world, because of you. We all get opportunities. In a restaurant yesterday, a guy was asking him about the church. I got to share with him the salvation message. Just happens. Why? Because God knows the need. He wants that none should perish. And God wants to use us to do it. And I believe because of Damascus Road, this city will never be the same. Praise God. This city will never be the same. I'm going to prophesy that. This city will never be the same. That this church will be a blessing until he returns for his bride. And you know what? God doesn't change his mind. God makes that promise to us as individuals and to us as a church. And that's why it's so important for us to know his word. To get that word in us, understand how to stand, what to stand on, to know what's true, to know what's right, to know how to live our life, that we can't be swayed, that we can be convinced, that we're not confused with the things God has for us. When we know his word, we will know his will. You know, there was a song by a band called Lost Dogs that says we're built to last, and it sounds like a Ford car commercial. But if you think about it, we're made for... You know, we're made for eternity. We're built to last. And he'll see us through to the end. This next week's power verse is this one right here, coming up. Psalm 33. And it's not big. Last week's was 8 words. This one's got a little more growth on it, but not much. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. It's a good one to know. God's plans stand firm forever. His intentions, it's not going to change. We need to know that. This church needs to live through that. Because this church needs to plow forward to do new things. Because God says, I don't change. And I say amen to that.
I felt pushed by the Spirit all the time to share it. But, okay, does anyone of you know what Maastricht means? God has always a reason to give names to places. And Maastricht means, yes, the way for the Maas, so the river. In the history, the gospel came through Maastricht in Netherlands. Liège has been built through Maastricht. Lambertus was from Maastricht. Maastricht has a calling of initiating, of bringing the gospel. And it's nowadays, the calling has not changed. And so it's not only the calling of this church, it's the calling of the city. So calling of all the churches in Maastricht. I just want to encourage you to take it for you, because you are Maastricht. We are Maastricht here. The other churches, they are what the body of Christ here in Maastricht. And there's still that calling of being I don't know the word in English, but to shine all around, not only in Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, here around, Luxembourg, not far, France, and the whole Europe. The calling for Maastricht has not changed.
All right.